Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Father, we give you praise and we honor your name. Thank you for your word throughout this series yet. As we're about to finalize trusting you this wonderful morning, we ask that, Lord, every area, any area of our lives that this word applies will become manifest in the gracious name of Jesus. All right. I know I've touched this part a little bit, but I'll just brush it before we continue. I called it, subtitled it, "The Young People Are Not Rebels." Can you find that in your notes? The Young People Are Not Rebels. Alright? That's just after talking about the subtopic that said the rated man, right? Paul knew this from experience. Are we together? Hallelujah to Jesus. Please don't dull me this morning so that I will not dull you, eh? Alright, so we spoke about the wretched man. Paul knew this from experience. And we cited Romans 7:1, right? We said, Paul speaking in Romans 7:1, he said, "I speak to them that know the law." Romans 7:1, he said, "I speak to them that know the law. I speak to them that know the law. I speak to them that know the law." And we said the root word for knowledge there, the word to know here, is a root word in Greek called ginosko. Or ginosko. It depends on how you feel like pronouncing it. G-I-N-O-S-K-O. Hallelujah to Jesus. And the word simply means experiential knowledge. It means knowledge which is a function of experience. So when Paul says, "I speak to them that know the law," he's saying he's speaking to a people who, via their contact or their interfacing with God's word, can deduce, can understand what he's speaking, what he's talking about. I mean, the experiences is pouring out, you know, while he's speaking to them. Because he, Paul, tried to live by the law before. Paul was a Pharisee. Are we together? Yeah, I wanted to say was, yeah, we can say was a Pharisee, because Pharisee was more like a culture. Are we together? So Paul was a Pharisee. Doesn't mean Paul is not Jew or was not Jew. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? But he was into that, their practice. Are we together? And at a point, Paul said something that was so astonishing in the book of Acts. He said, "I killed Christians with a clear conscience." Alright, that means while he was killing Christians, he felt justified before heaven that what he was doing was right. Why? Because his doctrine, you know, that's why dogma is very important. The Bible says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." If you have a wrong doctrine, you think you are pleasing God. Whatever you are doing is to the glory of God. You can imagine Paul saying, he killed Christians with a clear conscience. Meaning in his heart, he felt like what he was doing was pleasing God. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Just like today we see people who killed Christians, I think chiefly Christians, and probably other people who are not even Christians, who are not part of them. And they praise God while doing it. You know, I grew in the north. You can even call me a northerner because all my life I spent there. I know their language. I know their Quran to a first. And when they want to kill somebody, some of them, I'm not saying all of them are like that, you hear them shout, "Allahu Akbar." What it means in English is that God is great. And they shoot somebody. Alright? Now, in their heart, they felt like whatever they are doing is justifiable before God. God is pleased with it. That's the closest example to what Paul is speaking about in the book of Acts. Is that I killed Christians with a very clear conscience. Meaning he didn't feel like he was sinning. Alright? And that's why on his way to Damascus, God had to encounter him and say, "Why are you touching me? Why are you persecuting me? Are we together?" And that was when he repented. Hallelujah to Jesus. So, Paul felt like everything he knew was from God. That's why wrong doctrines are terrible. Or it's terrible. He felt like everything he knew as doctrine was from God. All right? You know, some of these guys who give doctrines from several other religions, they never, some of them before they even died, in fact, some of them after they even died, they still don't believe that they made a mistake. I'm sure it is some of them that are probably in hell today that understand that it was Satan that spoke to them, not God. Because they had a supernatural encounter, some sort of. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? For some, imagine you are just trying to farm and the spirit appears to you and tell you that he wants to start a religion with you. And before you know, the spirit vanishes before your very presence. What will you tell other people? You saw a supernatural being. And most people, you know, they will say it's God. Because they had not seen anything like that. Everything they've been seeing for as long as they've lived was natural yet. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So that's slightest exposure to the supernatural keeps them surprised. What is this? And the tin man tells them, I want to start social religion with you, and this is going to be your practice. And they carry it and they are running with it. And you know, they are very passionate. They know they encountered God. To them, they've encountered that being they've not seen. And so they are trying to, you know, convince a lot of people. And of course, anybody that believes anything nice and foolish always have people who will follow him. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? And before you know, they carry an entire generation into that belief. That's it. That's why Paul, Jesus speaking to us in the book of, in the Synoptics, you find it in every part of the Synoptics, he said, he spoke about the yeast of the Pharisees. Can you remember that? The yeast of the Pharisees, meaning trying to cite their lies. Alright? Whatever they believed as doctrines, which were lies, Jesus called it yeast. That lie is more like yeast. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? That it is so small, but it has so much tremendous effect. No lie is a small lie. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? There was a little lie that they said, according to them, they felt it was just a mere lie. They said Jesus' body was stolen. He didn't resurrect. Do you know till today, present day Israel believe that Jesus' body was stolen? They don't want to hear the word Jesus. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So it seems like a mere lie. They just give somebody money and say, just lie that his body was stolen. Now this lie has transcended over generation. Till today, present Israel, children yet unborn will still believe what I'm telling you now. You can't preach Jesus in Israel that we are traveling to go and pack stones. You can't preach Jesus there. You can't. You say Yahweh. You can't say Jesus. They believe Jesus was a fraudster. He was fake. He faked his resurrection. Him and his disciples. You know, one of my friends said, why are they allowing us go to his tomb and the rest? As if it was you that don't know Jesus. Will you not allow people to come and pay you and enter tomb? Will you not even form one tomb and say that's where he died so that people can go and lie there and give you money? Do you know how much people pay to enter the tomb just to see where Jesus died? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I know I was teaching somewhere and I said that's very unnecessary. And some people got offended because they already paid money to enter the tomb and lie where Jesus lied. Are we together? You can lie where Jesus lied and still suffer of sicknesses and be subjected to sin. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Don't think when you go and lie on the tomb Jesus lied, you will now resurrect and see yourself in heaven. No. He lied a long time ago. I don't think there's any physical trace of his, of anything that happened to Jesus on that tomb today. That's if that tomb is the real one they are showing us, because I'm truly suspecting those guys. Are we together? The highest source of their revenue is people going there to encounter, you know, for them to see for themselves where Jesus was baptized, you know, the first river Jordan water, you know, and all of those kind of things. And if you truly understand the word of God, that's very what? Unnecessary. The Bible says if anybody be in, is a word, new creation. What changes anything is not anything physical, it is the revelation of God's word that we can touch from any part of the world without getting to Israel. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. Hallelujah to Jesus. Because it will make, you know, it doesn't make sense. God will not do that so that some people will not feel more advantageous, you know, than other people. Say, you want to try me? I have Jerusalem stone. I know how to get you. You want to try me? I have water from Jordan. I'll deal with you later. Hallelujah to Jesus. And before you know, some wonderful people will sell it. They will market it. River Jordan water. I'm sure some of you would have seen something like that. They just carry it and touch it, you know. They just be touching it into normal water. you know, it's a mixture at least. Hallelujah to Jesus. And that is why Paul prayed for even Israel to be saved. Look at Romans 10 and 1. Let's see it very briefly. It said, my heart desire and prayer for where we are traveling to. I'm going to do all of those excursions, or what will I call it? What's the right word? There's a word they call it. Huh? Pilgrim. Where we are traveling for pilgrim, the Bible said, Paul prayed for them to be saved. Saved, that you have been saved already. He's praying for them to be saved because they don't believe in Jesus. There's no salvation in any other name than Jesus. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Very important. Some people say, I believe in God. It's just Jesus I don't believe in. And that's why we tell people we don't worship the same God with everybody, because Jesus is the true definition of God. If anybody claims to love God and worship God without loving Jesus and worshiping Jesus, the person does not know God and is not worshiping God. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Jesus said, he that has seen me has seen what? The one that sent me. Meaning there is no definition of God outside Jesus. In Colossians 1:13-15, the Bible calls him the image of the invisible God. Meaning the God you will ever see is Jesus, as revealed by the word. In other words, all it is to God is the word of God. All it is to God is the word of God. God will never come and say anything against what he's saying today. Is yesterday the same, today the same, and forever what? The same. And that's why you can boldly say you have encountered God when you interface with his word. I just got ignited remembering the story of E.W. Kenyon. They say he never wanted to have any encounter. Boy, he enjoyed a lot of encounters, and he spoke very less about them. They call him the father of new creation realities. If you have ever dared to read the books of E.W. Kenyon, I can gladly tell you, you never finished it. One of my friends told me he read New Christian Realities for 4 years. And guess what? He has not finished it. I know some of you have finished it. I'm not talking about that kind of reading. I don't finish E.W. Kenyon all in book. You have mind. You see, when you begin to read his book, you stop at a junction and begin to just enjoy yourself. Then you begin to travel into several streams of understanding. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Hallelujah to Jesus. You know, years ago, I was listening to a prophet like myself, and he said these words. He said, as a prophet, we are not called to understand deeply the word. He said, we are not called to understand deeply the word. He said, my business is not teaching the word, not knowing the word. He said, my business is to prophesy. So God told me not to hear E.W. Kenyon again. It's too bulky for me. And I smiled. I knew that was the beginning of failure. Because how can a prophet who speaks for God not have the patience to stay and understand the word of God? You don't truly know how God speaks until you understand his word. You interpret the speakings of God by revelation. You know, Daniel said, the visions of my heart troubled me. He needed an interpretation, a revelation of everything he saw in the spirit. If you don't understand the word of God, everything you are seeing as visions, you may go and interpret it wrongly. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? What is the connection between boiling pot and war? Ever saw that in the Old Testament? A pot boiling with water, and they see the meaning is war. What if you want to now interpret it logically? You miss it. But ultimately, we always tell people that the first realm of the prophetic is the word of God. That the word of God is the more sure word of prophecy. Take for instance the first example I cited. That somebody was encountered by a spiritual being, some sort of spiritual being, whether a demon or an angel. Are we together? And let's take for instance, it's a foul spirit, which are fallen angels. And the demon told him, I want to start a religion with you because they are antichrist. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? And I want you to be doing this and doing that and doing this. The person will get excited, get ignited, and start creating a religion because of the encounter he had. That is why for years I've been teaching you that don't make encounters look superior than the word of God. Superior to the word of God. If you make that mistake, a demon will speak to you. You think it's an angel. When I hear men of God say this was passionately, I really understand them. But I think we are missing it. Especially when you think about the story, think of the story of Lazarus and the rich man. If you remember, the rich man, having gotten to hell, was beckoning on Father Abraham to send people to go and speak to his brothers, that they should not, you know, see money as everything. They should not just be so conscious of this world and forget about eternity. What did Father Abraham say to him in the bosom of Abraham? He said, I would not send anybody physically to go and encounter them, you know, from the realm of the spirit and convince them to follow me. He said, because it has been written a long time in the Torah. The prophet have spoken. He said, and they did not listen. He said, if they did not listen to the prophets, they will not listen to anybody that we are going to send from here. In other words, no encounter in the spirit can change you if the word of God cannot change you. Because everything that had been said before was in their Torah. Was in their present day Bible. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And when they heard it, they did not change. So no encounter in the spirit can even change them. So what you need to change is not an encounter. It is to keep on interfacing the word of God. The Bible says, we behold. And when you behold, make sure you see. Because the letter killeth, but the spirit what? Giveth life. And that is why, humbly speaking, you cannot be an effective Christian without the church. You know, some people don't get the connection. Why so much about church, when there is God up there? Not even God told you to follow him at the detriment of church. Because it is not possible. And that's why one of his laws is that you should not neglect the word assembling of what? The brethren. I use the word assembling consciously, even though the word is assembly. And I made it to understand that assembling, which is a broader word, but to get to understand the word assembly better. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Picture it like this. When you assemble things together, a system together, it begins to work effectively. Alright? Let's take, for instance, you want to make a car to work. And you have the engine in the car, and the steering is in the car, but the tire is not there. Will the car move? But when you assembled every part rightly, what will happen? In other words, God is saying that if you don't come to my assembly, the church, kingdom will not move. It is not possible for kingdom to move. You must come and add your quarter for my kingdom to find expression on earth as it is in heaven. Meaning, don't just come to church and sit down. Make sure you are assembled in the right place so that you can help the work of God make progress. Probably you are the tire. Another person is the steering. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? There is no way you come to church and just sit down and not be doing anything. You may feel whole. You know the presence of God is so wonderful. He will say envelop you. You will feel his presence. But I hope you understand that every time you feel the presence of God, it's not the end. It's not because you are doing anything good. It's not because you are always right. The Bible says where sin abides, grace abides even more. Meaning God will encounter you to the end that you change most times. So the reason why he's coming so strong upon you is because he wants you to change. Why? Because he's seen something terrible in your life yet. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So don't say, I know that they are complaining that I'm not doing well in church, but I know what I feel. I know what I have with God. That presence you are feeling is not an encouragement to keep on being stupid. Because wherever sin abides, grace abides even what? Stronger. To the end that you keep on being foolish? No. To take you out from that foolishness into what? Wisdom. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So you will still experience the presence of God even though you are behaving wrongly. But understand the purpose of that presence. Alright? And that's why in the end the Bible says some will say, I did this in your name. But you will say, away from me, you workers of what? But imagine you are doing all of those things at the status quo in the name of the Lord. And people are hyping you. Do you know that you may end up being foolish? End up, you know, and having this experience I just spoke about in eternity? Because people will be hyping you. Wow, he spoke some words of prophecy over that lady and it was right. He did that. You know, he prayed on somebody, the person recovered. Especially as a man of God, I can explain this to you people very well. It is not every time somebody is preaching that is doing well. Even though you see things happening, God is so gracious that he will not limit his power because of one man's offense. That I'm standing here and I don't have a strong walk with the Holy Spirit. Maybe I made a mistake, some sort of. God will not say, because of me, he will not bless the people. He doesn't behave like that. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? As long as I stand there representing him, he will neglect everything I have done for a moment and bless people who are sincerely beckoning on him to touch them. at that status quo. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Just like Moses. Moses was told to do something. He did another thing. They said, speak to the rock by just hitting it once. You know, there's always this conflict. People say, the Bible says speak. But the Bible also says hit. You know, but Moses got offended. Hit it once, twice. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Because of offense. And I told someone, somebody the other day, I said, it is not wrong. The Bible says, God told Moses to speak to it. And I said, picture when a Fulani man hits his cow, he's speaking to the cow. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So there's no conflict there. By speaking to the rock, he's supposed to just hit it once, as instructed. But he got offended. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain? And he did it several times, or he did it with more strength. And that was wrong. Now, he disobeyed God, and what happened? Water still came out for the people to drink. Is it not amazing? What God prescribed for water to come, he did not do that. But God said, no problem. Just forget about this guy for a moment. Allow the people to drink water. Now, somebody who doesn't know anything happening with Moses will say, wow, this man has a walk with God. He just did this and water came out. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. And that is why sometimes you can disobey God and still see God touching people through your life. Don't get it twisted. And think you are okay with God. You know, God said I should be singing in that church. Or God said I should be preaching in this location. But I change and I still see and I'm still blessing lives. You will still be blessing lives. You think God will allow people to come and waste their time there and he will not touch them? You will bless lives. But you yourself will answer for the disobedience. I disobeyed, yet water came out. Does that justify my disobedience? No. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. So Moses disobeyed God, water came out. I was somewhere with Paul. We're talking about Romans 10. He said, I pray for them to be saved. I pray for them to be saved. A people who have all sort of religious activities around them. They can bow their head, they wear white and white, and etc. And yet Paul is saying they need to be saved. Isn't that amazing? You know, people want to force God to bend to their own biddings, and it's impossible. Years ago, while I was growing up, I was hardly a Christian. Even though my father was planted so strongly as a top leader in the church, I was barely a Christian. And I knew it. Because I wanted to understand what I was doing, but I did not understand it. Not because I didn't want to understand it, but because it didn't make sense to me. And so I began to ask a lot of questions. And that was when, you know, I became a burden to even where I was attending, because I was asking a lot of questions. To a point my dad had to tell me, stop asking questions. Hallelujah to Jesus. Because it was getting out of hand. I truly wanted to understand. I was not asking these questions to get anybody embarrassed. Let me use that word. I truly wanted to understand. But there was sincerely barely an answer. So I remember my mom's Bible on her bed every day. I began to read the Word of God. That's how my change began. Every day I would carry the Bible and read chapters upon chapters upon chapters. And my perspective started changing. My mother discovered it. She wanted me to be a good Christian, but now I was becoming too good. She wanted to reduce the anointing. When I go for prayer meetings now, she'll say I should not, you know, when I come, where did you go? I went, stop going anywhere. You must not be going to every prayer. You can just kneel down and pray in your house. And before, she had been praying for me to change. Now I've changed. She's regulating the change. And I said, this is the path I've chosen. Do you know that because I've chosen this path now, at a point they started locking me outside. And when I shout, do not open the door. Tried several punishments. In fact, at a point they reported me to the priest of the church to curtail my work with God. I remember that was the first time I ever spoke out. I will not stop. In fact, so embarrassing, they embarrassed me outside the church because I used to wear coats. Those days, every time you see me, no matter what I wear, you will see one coat. I will not call it suit. It's coat. And they call me pastor in an Orthodox church. You know, more like they don't do pastor there. They do other things. So you say, pastor, you know, it's more like a mockery. Pastor Simon. So people will begin to laugh. At some point, they say, you have seen the light. People will start laughing, you know, and things like that. And so one day, the man of God there said, "Pastor," and they started laughing. He said, "Are you a pastor?" I said, "No, I'm not." And truly, I was not. Just that people started calling me pastor. And he said, "Why are you wearing suits?" I said, "Because I love suits." He said, "Stop dressing like that in this church. Dress like a normal person." I said, "For suits?" He said, "I heard that you used to lead a prayer so, so and so. And you see those things, if you just come close to me, I steal your soul. All my friends that were close to me, we stole their soul for God. They now love the Lord so much. When we are done, because our mothers wanted us to attend there, we'll now go and hide somewhere and begin to pray in the spirit. We'll pray, pray, pray. Our mother started having meeting in the barrack. All of us that were inside our prayer, our mother started having meeting to regulate our prayer. I remember one midnight, my mother called me ahead and said, "I heard that you people," because my spiritual father died. She said, "I heard that your leadership killed your spiritual father so that they will not take over the position." I said, "Where does these things come from? Where do people hear these things? How does Satan successfully throw these things into the heart of people?" I look at my mom, I said, "I didn't know that it has gotten to this point. That somebody would think of this thing. We just lost somebody." "So you say you have to stop going there." I said, "You have to kill me, ma." You know, today she's always proud talking about me. The woman that tried to lure her to stop me from going to pray. It's not a good testimony. But you see, alright, it's so sad. The children became something else. And every time my mother always used to talk about, "Thank God I did not stop you." Because she doesn't have control over her children again. Are you listening to me? The last time I was in Kaduna, when the woman saw me, she almost was crying, looking at me. I knew what exactly was happening in her heart. And at that point, I was the one trying to even regulate the children to be thinking the way of the Lord. Because they have gone too wild. You can't fake things that work. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? If you like, insult a denomination, insult the people. I don't even believe in denomination. I hope you are aware. I don't believe in denomination. I believe in truth. And that's why lately, while I was meditating last night, I told myself, the Pentecostals are an embarrassment to Nigeria. I said it because recently I saw the Catholic bishop telling Tinubu, "You are not doing well." And I couldn't believe my eyes. They did not go to Aso Rock to collect money. They go there and they told him, "You are not doing well." He was just stammering if you watch the video. And he got offended. And they came out and they were excited. They said the truth. I said, that's what it means to be a man of God. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So I'm for truth. I'm not for denomination. Hallelujah to Jesus. And that's how I said it years ago. I told my mom, I said, I'm for truth. You cannot force me to die for something I don't know the origin about. You were born here, you remain here and die here. How will I die here? I'm 18. I'm an adult. If I die for foolishness, God will not hold my parents against me. Like a lady I was speaking to, she said, "My father said I must marry this man." I said, "Your father thinks you can marry?" She said, "Yes." And he said, "You must marry that man." She said, "Yes." I said, "The Bible said something that I'm going to teach you now. The Bible said, parents, do not provoke your children to anger." That simply means there's a possibility that the parents can be wrong sometimes. That doesn't mean I'm teaching you to go and talk to your parents. That's not it. I hope you get what I'm trying to say. I said, "But you, if your father thinks you can marry, your father thinks you are mature enough. So your father should not choose your husband for you. Because this is a life sentence. You cannot come out." Well, people are coming out these days, so I don't know what to even say. The preaching will not enter in that aspect. Mati was telling me somebody came out after 3 months. Somebody she used to know. 3 months, I'll be 1 year. Somebody is marrying, for, you know, and they are talking like they are very normal. Well, I don't leave that man, I'm a mumu man. They are so okay with it. It's a normal thing. I'm happily divorced. Because there are some sort of people up there that are trying to model us wrongly. Some of us who are done now go and watch celebrity news. Beyonce don't leave Jay-Z. Hey, who should they follow now? You know, all of those things you think they are just news, they are modeling your life. That's why divorce means nothing to you. It means nothing to you. I go marry you. If she do anyhow, I go divorce. I go marry him. If you do anyhow, I go leave. Marriage may be by force. Those days, people that want to marry, they used to know that they cannot leave. That's why they take that time to marry well. If at those days, if you leave and come to your village will push you back to the marriage. I think we should have more connection to our villages now for things to be okay. Some of us in this city will have learned a lot of rubbish. Let's have huge connection back to our villages. I even think the society will be better. It's the truth. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. Wrong things happening. Because a wrong generation of people who will look up to as celebrities are modeling this generation. Meanwhile, the Bible has said, you are the light. A city set, you cannot be. And years ago, I made up my mind. I said, nobody can school me into what is wrong. That's why God gave me brain. That's why God gave me a mind. Your mind is not my mind. My mind is your mind. Your mind is your mind. If God does not want me to think for myself, He will give my mind to another person to think for me. But He gave me a mind. I understand that sometimes thinking for yourself can get you into error. Because some people are so proud, and it is bad to be thinking for yourself when you are proud. Say, leave me, this is who I am. If who you are is wrong, if we leave you, you are left unto death. Like I saw a writing somewhere, somebody say, be yourself. Just learn to be yourself. Forget about, you know, it is nice when you are being yourself in Christ. But if you are being yourself in just yourself with some wrong ideologies, it is unto death. There's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end of it is what? Destruction. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Sometimes some way may seem right to you. And at that junction, if we try to talk to you that this way is right, is wrong, sorry. Some people will try to fight us. At that point, the person is proud a lot of times. This thing you they do, they wrong. Leave me, I beg. Leave me. I know what I'm doing. You know people who are more proud in this world? Have you heard the people that you are talking to and they'll tell you you'll not understand? They are very proud people. I wonder what is happening in your life that somebody will not understand. Sir, you will not understand. I get embarrassed. I've had one or two people talk to me like that in the office. You know, I've broken the word. The Lord has helped me to. I've seen deep mysteries in God. I've had encounters in the spirit. I've seen things. Then you now come and sit with me in the office, having some problems. And I say, okay, let's talk about your problem. I say, okay, what you need to do is to sit with the word. That thing we gave them a solution. They used to wonder whether we are sick. Sit with the word and pray in the spirit. Say, sir, it's not about praying in the spirit. It's not about, sir, you don't understand the situation I'm talking about. So if praying in the spirit cannot solve the problem, what can solve the problem? If the word of God cannot, this problem has overwhelmed me and God. There is nobody that can understand. If the word of God cannot solve your problem, if praying in the spirit cannot solve your problem, go and look for who will understand. Even God no understand you. Because God is the word. And you say if the word cannot explain your case, what can explain your case? The word that the Bible says is sharper than a two-edged sword that can go through any situation and bring clarity to it. In your own, He cannot bring clarity. Ha. Your case is very strong. In fact, that case does not exist. And that's why we call that, at that junction, we say you are what? Proud. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Paul said, when I was a child, I talked like a child. Let me give you a clue. How many of you ever told your father to buy you PS game? What do you call this? Dolba? This one that ladies used to like when they grew up. Huh? Those days in the bag, they used to call it baby. So I don't know how to... Doll baby, And the rest, because I'm looking for the English word, I'm not finding it. So let me say the rest. Are we together? You know, ladies are wonderful people. We'll say buy us Sega and PS1, we'll say buy us doll. That's so dull, but let's continue. Hallelujah to Jesus. But that's how women are. Are we together? You can see what is interesting them at that age and what is interesting us. You know, as a young man, you see that doll, baby, you are just wondering, what the heck is this? You can always use it to play ball, monkey push. But they want it. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, there was a point in your life you felt like doll baby was the best thing you can ever have. Have you been there before? As a lady? Now, as a guy, there was a point in your life you felt like PS Sega. Let me start with the Sega. Anybody know Sega here? Kai, Gen Z, I'm warning all of you. Don't raise your hand. I know people that will know Sega. If you raise your hand there and I ask you your age and you say 19 or 20, you're in trouble. If you know Sega, do like this. I can't believe. Okay, Ima. Okay, hey, I believe Dr. Anke. Sense, if I knock you, come put your hand down. 19 years old boy, you're saying. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. So, for some of us who know Sega, you know Shuto. I think that's even PS1 already. Ya Quinta Viera. And all of that. These guys don't understand what we're talking about. Because now they are hearing Peter Dewey is talking so excellently. There was a time that it was Shurto. You know what Shurto means? Short. Ya Quinta. Can you remember that person? In Juventus, in PS1. Those days, if your father buys you PS1, you are very excited. It's as if you have achieved everything in this world. Kai, your body will be so sweet. All your friends will become better friends that season. Do you understand? The ones that were your enemies, they will start coming to revive that friendship back. Because immediately your mother goes to work. Your father is not always the problem, it's your mother. Immediately your mother goes to work or goes to the market, everybody will enter your parlor. Then TV will now spoil. Do you understand? You now be trusting God to repair the TV. You see a young child carrying their TV to mommy market. I'm waiting happened to our TV. You know, I remember you now hit the TV if it's not getting. Boom! Those days, it feels like the best thing that can happen to any young child. I think Sega we enjoyed more of Mortal Kombat. Back, front Z. That's for who? Which one is Mario? He did not play this thing. Back, front Z. Look in. Hallelujah. That is brutality. Is it his brutality or that one that he comes back and gives you back? from back, Z. And the rest. You see, a young boy. Now, as I'm saying this, some of you remember. How many formula in physics can you remember? And maths and chemistry. We can cram that in. You see a young boy who is not zealous in school, he will write. And it's always those boys that are not very serious in school that know brutality. Because you see, they've already covered where they are supposed to learn formulas with brutality. You play with one boy, let's take his name to be Ayo. Their names, if you remember, their names are always like that. Ayo Femi. They know those games. Then if you want to come into English, then you hear people like John, Ima, those kind of Ima like that. Friday, yeah, you got this thing, well, all those Fridays, I used to have a Friday in us, they were so good with games. They will know it so well. At that point, you see children, they will gather in one place, they will be so happy. In fact, let's even go to movies. All those Chinese movies those days. The person that has the movie, not like we don't have TV. The person that has the movie, all the children will go and gather in the house. It will be so embarrassing that your mother is beating you. Don't go there. You don't have TV in your house. Mommy, we don't have the film. You don't understand. We have TV, but we don't have the film. Your mother will be wondering, no, be TV, be this. Look at the boring thing. We are watching Unkwa. They are watching Chinese film. And you are telling me not to go and peep the window. Whatever it will take, I have to watch this movie. At that point, do you know we felt so fulfilled? If you remember these things, You felt so excited. Some of you who are 19 will not understand what I'm saying. So I'll come for an I'll give you an example. You will feel so happy. Then let me touch the ladies a little bit. Sway. Can you remember? You remember sway? You remember molding house with your leg? You remember all of those things? My sister Mary, who has two children now, they used to call her Mama Mbola in the barracks. She would go and pack things and arrange like it's her house. That's when we knew that this lady would know how to take care of her house. You need to go to her house. If you drop one thing, oh, heaven will come down. We knew from that point that she would know how to take care of her house. What am I trying to say? We felt so fulfilled. But how many of you who used to do those things today will go and stay under the rain when rain finishes and do sway now? Have you finished paying your bills? Do you know at that point we'll be thinking our parents are suffering? Maybe your mother was a nurse. Your mother was sorry going to school of nursing when she has like two children, two of you. She's now registering for school of nursing. You're like, Mommy, why did they go to school at this point? You've been wondering why your mother is suffering herself. Now your mother is a big woman in the nursing sector. You people are now married. You too, you are wondering whether I should go for school of nursing. I don't know that idea I'm trying to say. One of my sisters called me. She did linguistic. So she called me one time and said, this is our side. This is not today. I'm wondering whether I should write WAEC again and study nursing. I said, no, you are too old. She said, no, I'm not old. Remember, Mommy wanted to do nursing when she had two children yet. Me too, I can do. Now, at that point, she would have thought my mother was wasting her time. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? But she wants to do it today. Because she now understands life better. She's seen the problems like this, like rock before her front. And she has to follow the only way out to her. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? We are now choosing the more important things. Even in ministry is like that. There's a point where you want to be everywhere. You want to be in every church. It goes to a point when you get there's the kind of problem that now keep you in one church. Because you now understand that this thing is not about moving around. It's about staying and trusting God in the place. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. But there's a point you were very happy. You like anywhere you hear concerts, you want to go and play guitar. It gets to a point that when you are married as a guitarist, you just stay one place. In fact, you'll be doing meetings for guitarists and be teaching them that it is not good to be moving around. You'll not be advising them, learn to even give your offerings in church. It is not salary that will feed your generation. Because you too, you are not giving at a point. During offering, you go outside. But you have grown and learned the hard way. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Because, you see, don't think that even if I believe I will pay salaries to my instrumentalists, I don't have a problem paying salaries to my instrumentalists. They cannot say they will survive on salaries we pay them alone. They must be plugged eternally to the source of everything, which is God Almighty. We are paying you, but you don't have a relationship with God. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? That's trouble. He should be able to do something for you outside the salaries we pay you. I don't know that you guys are getting what I'm trying to say. He should be able to provide for you. He should be able to favor you. But you have to be plugged into him. So if you don't give and you are allowing other people to give so that they pay you, you are deceiving yourself. Because as long as the earth remains, what a man sows, he will reap. If you don't sow, you will not. Not just for finances, for every aspect of life. If you are not reading, you will not pass exam. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? If you like, be praying. You see, not pass exam. If you pray, you'll be anointed. If you read, you'll pass exam. Did you get what I just said? If the semester starts, if you go to basketball court till the end of the semester, you become very anointed at the end of the semester. And you have a lot of F at the end of the semester. Do you see this? You saw that God was not wicked. You reap what you sow. Anointing, he gave you. Failure, you collect them. So there must be balance. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? And in other sector now of life, imagine you are so busy. God gave you something. You are so busy in the thing that right now you don't have time for God. So the day something hits you, the Bible says as long as the earth remained. Okay, that's not a part of scripture. The Bible says something about redeeming the times for the days are evil. Evil days hardly never comes. That doesn't mean we'll be subjected by the evil days. That's not what the Bible said. In fact, the Bible said there's an effectual door that has been opened to us, but there are many what? Many will always find, see adversaries, but we are not scared because we know that we overcome. Are you guys hearing what I'm trying to say? Now imagine you are not serious with God. You are very serious with your business. When a point comes that you need to challenge something by the anointing, it is not your business that will just be in your account. It is what you have done in terms of just business that you have available. Because there are issues that money cannot solve. You may have a lot of money as a byproduct from product from that your business, but you can't speak to the mountain. You can't challenge that situation. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You can't. I had a vision last night. Thank God for that vision because it's making a lot of sense to me. I'm quite into freelancing very recently. And I saw myself in the, with some freelancers. We sat somewhere trying to find solutions to some things. And while we were there, a lady was saying, "Leave me! Leave me! Leave me!" She was shouting under a demonic influence. "Leave me!" And the people were confused. In fact, some of them in the freelancing sector, some of them had earrings in the meeting. I don't have any friend currently that wears earring. Alright? But I saw that some of them, and it doesn't mean they are bad, but they were just being themselves. You know what I said at the beginning of the service. Alright? So, the one taking the lecture was wearing one earring. So, while he was talking, the lady was saying, "Leave me!" Then her child started levitating on the air. So, she was saying, "Don't touch him. He's half human and half spirit." So, everybody ran away. Freelancing class ended. Nobody touched the boy. The boy was just levitating on the air. I saw myself in the vision. And instead of running, I could not run. I was looking at the scene. And I rushed there and laid my hands on the boy. And he began to react. You know, like something is just, when you open something full of air, the way to be. He was just, I saw courage at my back and some people just watching me. And, you know, yeah, I can remember his face very well. And they were just watching me. And after a while, the guy really manifested. He manifested, then he now calmed down. Then everybody now came inside. Then I started teaching them that, yeah, it's good to follow money, look for money, but you must follow God also. I said, see how they ended our freelancing class. The lady got delivered, the boy got what? And it's more like a wife of somebody that is in the freelancing. Now, take for instance a lady. You want to marry somebody that really has money, which is not a problem. Alright? And some of you have already told yourself that finally, like your mother is, you will be the covering of the house. That the man can be doing anything and you'll be firing prayer. See, it was not God's will that your mother should be the one praying for the house. You know why we have made it look like a doctrine? Because we have had a lot of men who didn't know their place. The man is the covering of the house, spiritually and physically. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? You weigh a woman off when you give her that responsibility. It's too heavy for her. And most of the times, if you watch our mothers that carry this kind of load, they are not really happy people. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? They didn't really live happy lives. And very sadly, even though nobody likes to bring their dirty linens outside, they face a lot of trouble from their husbands. Some of them will do everything. The man will still come and want to touch them. Then you will not stand up and say, "Touch my mother, see." And some of them will come back and your mother will be giving them, you know, showing evidence how they cheated. Yet in the night, she's still praying. And one of the prayer points, "Father, help this man to change." Ah. I heard Dr. Carries one time speaking. He said, "We will advise them to marry rightly. They will not have hear us." Then when they marry after 2 years, they are in the morning prayer, shouting, "I cover my husband. I cover my husband's eye from every woman. I cover my husband." You want to cover your husband's eyes from every woman? Are you joking? What did you cover it with? Let the blood of Jesus cover his eye. Let the blood of Jesus purify his eye. Blood of Jesus does not used to do that kind of work. If you don't marry a man who knows his place in Christ, nothing can purify the eyes. If his heart is not purified, eyes must see. And you will approach. And maybe you have a sister in the house. You say, you'll be surprised. You'll just call one day and say, "My father married 3 wives. My grandfather married 10 wives. Why will I do less than my parents?" I've come to terms with this reality. In our family line, we must marry 2233. So I want you to meet a woman that I'll bring tomorrow. You must take her like your sister. She is your co-wife. Miriam shouted, "Hey! It happens. Have you not heard the story? It has happened several times." Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you here? Very important. Back to the religion. So years ago, I made up my mind. I said, I will not fall a prey to the devil because I want to be loyal to something that I don't understand the origin about. That doesn't mean I just wanted to make trouble. So I asked deep questions that I really was concerned about. And I feel if you are not a wonderful person, I feel you are not being sincere. If you cannot answer sincere questions, you will never grow. You will not grow. If they tell you that, why is this thing green and you are saying it's black, and you are saying, what kind of rubbish question is that? You have bad intentions. You are not a good person. You should be able to explain why the thing is what. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Very important. But we have leaders some sort of that when you ask them questions, they feel challenged. They feel challenged in Africa especially. Back to what I was saying before, I keep on flowing in this direction. When you are a child, you behave like a child. But when you grow up, you live what? Childish ways. And I was explaining how that there are some things nicer to you at certain level of life. When you grow, you now embrace real stuff. And I was promising you that some of you seated here, that think that the wrong ideologies you have today that you are calling right are the right ideologies. A point will come that you think of today and laugh. I was thinking like that. How stupid was I? But you see, your advantage is in somebody. Let me start with the Holy Ghost. Your advantage is in the Holy Spirit. Listen, He will teach you things, all right, and instruct you in ways that probably your brain has not touched yet, especially as regards to instruction. The Holy Spirit can say, don't marry that guy. Your brain has not traveled to that realm yet to see that that guy is not the man for you. You are still a child in your mind. You have all the reasons to justify why that man should be your husband. He has a broad chest, he has a broad head, he has a broad whatever. He's the kind of man I dream about. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? Because your mind has not touched that place. But you see, instructions are a byproduct of what? Wisdom. It is from His wisdom that He instructed you. Knowing that one time in life you appreciate this man. You understand that this is the kind of man you actually desire. There are a lot of women who have a lot of tall men with broad chests who are looking for short men today that have sense. I was watching one of these, coincidentally, you can't even do against it. You are just walking through Facebook and they will interface you with certain videos. This one that you see people hold a balloon. You now see one man stand. Or you see a lady stand. I was watching one that one lady, so beautiful, she looked at all these gigantic looking men and picked one short guy. Cute short guy. And they asked her why. She said, he sounds more sensible than all of them. That means she has seen it all. It's not today she started dating gigantic looking men. And when she heard them speaking, she can trace them to her ex. And she told herself, never again. But this short one, he has brain. Hallelujah to Jesus. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And she picked him over all the tall guys. Ask 200 ladies. When you see 200 ladies, ask 200 of them, what kind of a man do you want? They will never say anything spiritual first. The first thing you hear is tall. They'll start looking for things in the spirit now to add. Tall, sensible. You see, there is no sensible tall. It is tall, sensible. Even the ones that are here, it's tall they want. Tall. 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 Hallelujah to Jesus. It is when you meet a lady who is over 30 something, and you should learn wisdom from this. You meet a lady over 35, Say, what kind of a man do you want to marry? Just a man that has sense. I don't do spec. She used to do spec. She used to do spec. Let her not lie to you. She has grown to a point that she now understands it's not by spec. It's by sense, not by spec. That's why now she's settling down for what? Sense. So it's not about looks, about anything. In fact, she will not even want to lie. I don't even like handsome men. I just want a man that... Now, I want you to learn from people like that. Because when she was like youth in 23 years old, she still wanted broad chest. But you see her now at 35, nothing can be done against but for the truth. The truth is that she'll marry a man that has sense. And if you don't hear now, you'll hear at 35. Thank you. She said, I will never hear at 35. I said, that's it. I believe so for you too. Are we together? What we are teaching you now, may you not come to understand it and believe it 10 years later. It will be too bad. And Pastor was telling us that in that time. We thought that. Then 10 years later, that's why I was explaining. Paul said, when I was a child, I behaved like a child. That insufficient wisdom, he behaved in that manner. And you know why Paul called himself? Paul was speaking about childhood there. Of course, firstly, when he was a Pharisee killing Christians, but more chiefly when he was working in the realm of giftings. Because you have to understand scripture from context. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Because in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul was speaking about giftings. In 1 Corinthians 13, he was extending that discussion, and now he's talking about the more excellent way. At the tail of verse 12, he said, I show you a more excellent way. Meanwhile, he has spoken about giftings. He said there are several giftings, and the root word for giftings there simply means the manifestation or demonstration of the Spirit. If gifting simply means giftings the way we think in English, and I don't know why we have to even explain it in a way that it feels as if you will have your own separate and I'll have my own separate. We can even call it gifting, but that's not how God sees it. Because even grace, the Bible calls it a gift. So do we say somebody has the gift of grace? Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? Very important. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. So Paul said, covet the best gifts. Firstly, he said, partitioned in the church are several people with different gifts. Alright? And he didn't mean that you have your own, I have my own, we can never have the same. Because the end of his discussion justifies what I'm claiming right now. He said, I may see something working in Donut that I don't have. Donut may see something working in your life that he doesn't have. Donut should not think what he has is his own for life, and he cannot have what you have. That is why he said at the end, he said, when you see what you like in somebody else's life, he said, covet it. That's the only point that scripture permits you to covet something. Meaning you see something, a demonstration of God in somebody's life that you like, what should you do? Covet it. In love. That's why Paul said in another part of scripture, he says, steer one another in love. Meaning charge each other in love. Are we together? So for instance now, I'm healing the sick. You are working in the prophetic. You love to heal the sick. Don't think that this is my gift and it's excluded to me. No. You have the Holy Spirit that is at the status quo prophesying through you yet. That doesn't mean that he cannot heal through you. You have not just touched that branch of the Holy Spirit. I don't know that you guys are getting what I'm trying to explain. So since the source of what I'm doing is in you, you can just say, Lord, if you are the source of this and you are in me, I want it. And you begin to see it at work in your life. That's why he chose the word covet there. Are we together? Then he said, but there's a more excellent way for this thing to work. He said, Paul, what's the more excellent way? What thing to work? There's a more excellent way for you to work in all the demonstrations of the Spirit. And they said, Paul, what is that more excellent way? He said, love. He said, if you understand God, you walk in love. Because the Bible also said that he that loveth his brother has passed from what? Death to life. It means you have touched that realm of God. In fact, the Bible says, for God is very important. Love is kind. Love is patient. He began to explain, love keeps no record of wrongs. In other words, Paul is like, if you like, be flowing in any gift of the Spirit. If you cannot find these virtues at work in your life, you have not touched God. In other words, Paul is making us understand that chapter 12 can be fulfilled in your life. You may have a demonstration yet of the manifestation of the Spirit that we call gifts, and still be walking in anger, and still be walking in offense, and still be talking against people. I don't know that you guys get what I'm trying to explain to you. So he said the more excellent way to walk in all the demonstration of the Spirit is true love. Know God, flow in the fruit of the Spirit, and let the power of God be still flowing through your life. Balanced Christian. Not a Christian who is walking in the anointing yet, and one day will now hear that he slept with a lady. And that's the end of his ministry. Now, I'm not trying to talk down that kind of person. But the person did not understand the more excellent way. You cannot be stronger by just being pessimistic. I make up my mind, I will not sin. Nobody makes up his mind not to sin. There is something you must be standing on that will enable you not to sin. That the wise builder did not just say, I will not fall when the wind of and the storm of life beats me vehemently in Luke 6. He said that I will dig my ground, and I'll build my house on the rock. So that when the flood of life hits me vehemently, I will not fall. Not because I said I will not fall, but because I'm what? Standing on the rock. The Bible said not because of anything, but because he was what? Standing. He has built his house, his life, his righteousness on the rock. That's why you will not fall. So the activities or the after, you know, some sort of the effects of prayer should not be likened to prayer. Like I always say, prayer is not moving your body. Prayer can make you move your body, but prayer is not moving your body. Hear what I said again. Prayer can make you move your body. It can cause you to move your body. It can cause you to move in irregular ways that are not common to human beings. In fact, you may see somebody pray and be tempted to laugh. Whatever activities we see as a demonstration, you know, in prayer, it's not the definition of prayer. Alright? But it can happen in prayer. I hope I'm not confusing somebody this morning. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So, I can be praying rightly and be doing like this and be shaking. I'm praying rightly. But I can be praying very wrongly and still be shaking. Do you get what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. So, I'm not discarding those kind of irregular behaviors that may happen during prayer. But I'm discussing the fact that you now hype those things over the realest meaning of prayer. Prayer has not started happening if there is no revelation of who God is. As long as there's no revelation, the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 13, he said, we are what? A clanging cymbal. He said, if I pray in tongues of men and of angels, and I know not love, I am a what? Clanging cymbal. You see that? Very important. Meaning you can be claiming to be praying, and be walking in anger, hatred, disobedience, and thinking you are aligned with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says you should not think that you are making noise. Just imagine now we are teaching. Somebody is hitting this thing. Boing, boing, boing. The Bible says that's what you are doing in the realm of the Spirit. So you must be bold enough. Alright? You know, years ago I told some of my friends. I said, let's understand this God. It's not, some people think they will stop that pornography life and addiction life when they charge. From today I make up my mind. I will not do it again. Yeah! 7 days fasting. See, it is called clanging cymbal. If you have not understood God yet. In fact, sometimes you fortify yourself after the 7 days for better sins. As you are finishing the 7 days, you now do it better than before. Probably if you ate food, you would have not even done it. You would have had strength to even resist more. I've had people who came to me, sir, I can't believe it. After 3 days, dry, I still did it. Sir, I broke with it. And you are looking at them and saying, can you truly believe the word of God? You know, as human beings, we want something tough before we can come to terms with the reality that's truth. If it's not tough, it's not truth. Truth must be tough. It must look tough. It must sound tough before we call it truth. Isaiah said, and I sought God in a wind, a drastic wind. He was waiting for God. He said, but God was not in the wind. He said he saw a fire burning very well. He said he was looking at the fire and staring at the fire and waiting for God, but God was not in the fire. He said he now gave up and just sat down, just enjoying himself because it seems like God does not want to come. When he sat down, normal oxygen and carbon dioxide was just flowing. He now sensed the presence of God so strong. Meaning God is not what you think he is. He is who he knows he is. You can't bend God to what you think God is. There is God and there is you. And there's what he wants you to be like. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? Very important. That's what some religion want to do. They want to bring God to, model God to what they want God to be like. That is why if you truly fear God and understand this God, don't help God do anything. There should be nothing like canon laws. What are you doing it for? He's called El Shaddai, the multi-breasted one. You are helping him how? So we are creating this law so that people, you can't help God. Remove every, like I've done it before several times in Ephesians 5. What we call it? Wrinkle or spot on the wedding gown. Remove it. He doesn't want his bride to enter the ceremony with any pocket for people to help him, you know, appreciate him through what? For the marriage. The second coming is likened to this, the wedding feast of the Lamb. He wants you to come with no pockets so that he can boldly say you are a byproduct of everything I've done for you. God is too sufficient, self-sufficient for anybody to help him. That's why when people try to help him in scripture, they are the one that died. You can't help the one that helps everybody. You can't help a man that has no need. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You can't help God. They try to protect the ark where God lives. Those days, a measure of God in the ark of the covenant. You can't. When they took the ark and kept, whoever, what was the name of that dear God? Dagon. Dagon bowed to a small box. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? They had two children. Dagon was so big, bigger than this building. So long, a bigger stature. But when they kept the ark, when they went and slept and woke up, Dagon bowed to the ark. Broke. They beat another one. They say, maybe it's a mistake. We didn't use the right materials. They use TMT now. When they use TMT, Dagon still fell. They now understood, let's return this thing from where we carried it from. Levi did not help them, but they carried themselves. I went and gave, do you understand what I'm trying to say? I gave them back. I said, sorry, carry your God back. We are very sorry. That's why when people threaten you in the office and you panic, God is wondering, who be this? Mike, is this one of our person? Why are you panicking? He said, they that know their God, they shall be strong. Now, do you know your God? Yes, say, I'm strong. And they shall do exploits. In other words, if you claim you know God, position yourself now that you are strong. Have a consciousness that you are strong. And have a consciousness that you are supposed to do exploit. How will you say you know God and not do great things in 2026, yet? Say, what great thing have I done this year? I've just been complaining and disobeying and giving excuses. That's the testimony of some people's story at this point of August. Disobeying their leaders even in church, disobeying at home, complaining of things that are not okay. That's the only thing they can boast of. For the mumus that you think are mumus, compare. You know, I always tell people in church, look at the ones that behave like mumus. Compare your life with them. If you see yourself better than them, then leave church. But if you see their life better than your own, and don't brag and say, no, lie. Life is not all about money. Money too is involved. In fact, money is the reason why you are misbehaving. But of course, life is not all about money. But watch people who love the Lord and really serve the Lord. They even have the money more than you. Years ago, my spiritual father told me, he said, great men are not the most intelligent. He said, they are the ones that pay the most attention. Not the most intelligent. The most intelligent in the room, a lot of times, they don't end up being great. But the ones that always pay close attention to every detail, careful to follow every instruction, they always end up great. That is why today some of us boast about Cristiano Ronaldo. Even though some of you don't like him. And me, I'm not doing that argument. I'm not in argument. I just say it and I stop. We boast about him because he's somebody that can, if you want to say a model for a generation of footballers, he's somebody we should put out there. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I hope you know in certain countries they study him as a curse. Currently, he's a curse. Not because of anything. Don't think about, they've watched his life and they saw how consistent he has been. that at 42, somebody is still playing in the highest level of football. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? At 42, why his mates are criticizing him? They cannot even walk well because they are very fat, some of them. Same age. That's why some of us are wild. What kind of a life is this? So discipline, he doesn't eat certain things because of his career. There are many promising footballers who ended very young at 32, 30. Why? Their lifestyle. They wanted to drink all the alcohol. They wanted to go for all the parties. Are you going to get what I'm trying to say? But he chose not to do that. One time, Coke lost. Coca-Cola. See, today they've not recovered from that thing. The guy just carried the bottle and kept at the side. Every of Cristiano Ronaldo fan just stopped taking Coca-Cola. Of course, some of them have come back. But for that season, you see, they say, I'm not taking Coca-Cola. They say, why Cristiano did not take? Even some that drink alcohol that he took and kept by the side, they said they will not take till after 1 week. They resumed. Their market dropped. Discipline. I don't know of the other one. I'm just talking about what I know. Are you here this wonderful morning? Very important. Suppose when I was a child, I behaved like a child. Sometimes you think PS2 is all that I need. PS2. A point will come. While somebody is telling you don't need PS2, you need a plot of land. You are arguing. See, let's work towards you getting a land. Give me PS5. So that if I finish my work, I'll just play my thing. You know? So take one plot. No! Give me PS5. I know that I'm saying some people will say, God forbid, I cannot be that person. Now, remove PS5 from there. Think about another thing. Probably, you are that person I'm talking about. They are teaching you what to do. But whatever you wanted to do is as good as you seeking for PS5. They say, get plot of land. Do things that can add to your future and destiny, you know, so much. But you prefer things that are vain. You don't want to suffer. Learn a skill. Say, I'm not sure. Say, I feel one. You that God creates cannot do it. God has never created Olodo. That's why we should stop saying that Olodo uprising something. Nobody is Olodo. Are you listening to me? God did not create. It's some people that chose to walk that path. But originally, their brain can think so far, big, wide. We have been doing some things recently in the house. Yesterday, I saw Courage posting and he's saying, firstly, it was so, and now it's pass. We started something in freelancing, and for a few days, Courage failed. A few people too failed. I think Betty has failed once too. I think she has failed Etta too. Courage has failed Etta's, and Benjamin too have failed. Donald ran away after two failures. Donald actually broke the realm of failure in the distance. It was Donald that was the first person that started failing in it. I just thought I should share. Hallelujah to Jesus. So I was in my bedroom one of these days. I say, write an assessment for you. It was just beginning. He says, Dad, I don't understand what is happening. I say, you must understand what is happening. He said, Dad, I don't know why I failed. You failed. You say you don't know why you failed. All right. Now, to cut the long story short, I told them we can still do it. We did the impossible. See, we started doing projects that people have not started doing. They are begging us to do the project. You guys get what I'm trying to say? So we came to a point yesterday, after the so much success we've been having, Betty has been posting them. I think some people have been posting also. Yesterday, they were studying for over 3 hours to write an assessment. And the Holy Spirit told me, he said, start it. So I came to them. I said, will you want to start the assessment tomorrow? They say, yes. I say, yeah. And I understand. You know, acid hurts. Have you heard that word before? As you are listening to the Lord said, let them. I just press it here and say, I've started it, you must write it. God says, sir, you have started it. But sir, that will just leave it to tomorrow. I say, write it. And when they wrote and submitted, they passed. See, listen carefully. These two last assessments, we've sat for people who have written it. We have not found it anywhere. So the guy, the last person I asked who is very good, told me, he said, if you pass, it means you are the first person that have passed the assessment. And we'll start buying answers from you. Alright, it's not like BSU answer thing. Listen, it's only in school you do those rubbish. You get what I'm trying to say? that covering of answer, it does not happen in life. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? Some of you start saying, Pastor is selling us. It does not happen in life. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? In life, if somebody wants to pass, help the person pass. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Ah. I heard a man of God giving a testimony. He said he went for an interview. And the Holy Spirit told him to read only one part of that chemistry textbook. One part. Sometimes we judge people by just an exam. It's very, very bad. There are a lot of intelligent people that we think they are not intelligent. Because where they ask them questions, they did not read. For instance, you now, they would think you are not a first class student. As if you are not a first, are you not a first class student? The problem is that where they ask that question for that exam that time, you have not read it. But you know you are an intelligent. Are you not intelligent? Just that Mama T read that one, that's why she passed. If, for instance, we read too, we would have had first class like her. Hallelujah to Jesus. So he said he read that particular part alone. He knows chemistry. He read is in our town. He's a man of God in our town. He said he read that particular part alone and went for the interview. And that's the only question they asked. They were asking somebody before him the question. The person could not answer. Then I said, okay, that question will ask that person. You explain. He has understood everything. He even gave examples. You know when you ask and you are answering something and you are embarrassing the people you are answering. For example, sir. Can I add one more example, sir? See, it's okay. You got the job. That's how he got the job. No connection. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So sometimes it's just the fact that you did not ask, you did not read that part. And a lot of times God will help you like this because you are a hardworking person. If you are not hardworking, God will not give you. You know, we used to tell teachers area of concentration. God will not give you area of concentration if you are not hardworking. When I wanted to write jam, the Lord gave me. This one is not area of concentration alone. He gave me area of exam. You know, I shared the story. Some people thought I was lying. The only challenge I was having in that jam was mass. Not that I don't know mass, but if you have written mass in jam, you understand what I'm talking about. Everybody that wrote jam and wrote mass, jam would jam you in the mass. Somehow you just be humbled at some junction. And for the fact that I didn't really do further mass in my secondary school, I had to learn it by myself. You know, we're like the fourth set of my secondary school. So it's after us, they started having all those further mass, you know. Some of our teachers just come and won't read for us. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's a very big school. Just that sometimes people employ their brothers and sisters. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And they just give whatever they have. And the Lord told me to read mathematics. Concentrate on Mass 2007 in JAM. So I told my friend that we're starting together, I said, go back to Mass 2007. He said, no, that's too far. JAM will never do that. I said, okay, I've heard you. Just go there. Do the revision with me. He knows Mass very well. Let's do it together. When I read my own, read your own. He said, okay, sir. I'll just do it for you, but God forbid for me to concentrate there. He was going to write Mass 2. Well, his own brain probably can get 52 or 62. My own that time is in God we trust. I truly just wanted to know that thing and pass. And guess what? They did not change one question. When I entered the jam, I wrote my jam. Can't remember the place. But I was already in BSU. I was doing remedials. I think somewhere in Otukpo, there was one big computer center there. I can't remember the name. But when I was going to the town, it's by the left-hand side of the town. So we stopped there and I wrote my jam there. And I was so shocked when I entered the place and sat down and opened mass. The Holy Ghost, the anointing filled me. I was so shocked that I was just lifting up my hands in the class. And the lady close to me said, Oga, 25 minutes don't go. I see you, they lift hands. You know, go right, champ. I said, sorry. And I said, right, you know what? They didn't change one question. But yet, I didn't have all. Because even though I was reading in 2.7, I still had some fair level of unbelief. I was joining it with 2.11 and 2. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I wanted to just cover every area. But it was my highest. And I got the admission. You see that? It has happened several times. Because the Lord saw that I'm reading. In my pursuit, hear me. I always tell people, don't trust. Don't do this at home. While I sat at the front, I saw I understood just four questions or five. And I said, this admission, is it this year? Then I looked at it carefully and said, God, you'd have started a good thing. You'll finish it. In the name of Jesus, I have the mind of Christ. And I close my head and pray in tongues for 5 seconds. A woman looked at me and just smiled. So you are praying, but you better pass. So when I open my eye, I say, Lord, as my mind moves me, I tick. I know some of you are like, Pastor, I've tried that thing, I failed. This is under the anointing. And I'm not saying go and try it again. There's a more excellent way. Read and you will pass. That's a more excellent way. After that, God blocked my eyes till I finished school. He did not do that kind of thing again for me. He blocked that thing. I'll read from Mass 101. I'll go. If I don't read, hey, God. Till I learned the hard way. I started reading very well. Because if he does like that till I graduate, I'll make it a doctrine. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? The cutoff mark was 32. The cutoff mark was reduced to 30 that year because people failed it very well. I got 62. By just closing my eye and ticking. Now, that's one thing with the anointing. Even though it should not be a doctrine. When you work hard, he will bless the works of your hands. Are you here this wonderful morning? So right now, you may be thinking certain things and be thinking that's the way life should be. You probably are just 19. I called one young man years ago in Kaduna and I said to him, what do you want to become? He said, a drummer. So I laugh. Now listen, to be a drummer is not a bad thing. I don't want you to ever get it wrong. But you know why I laughed? He is not supposed to be a drummer. He loves drumming. I can tell you over 80% of all of us seated here as boys that grew in church, we love to play drum when we started. If it's not drum, it's keyboard. Of course, the easiest one to start with is always drum. I hope you get what I'm trying to say. We'll just carry it and be hitting the thing. But some will learn keyboard, some will learn the bass guitar, some will learn the lead guitar, and etc. And sometimes, if you really grew in church, you play it so much, love it so much, that you think that is your call. Just like some people that love football. For me now, the only thing that would have altered my call in God would have been football. I love football so much. You say, yes, sir, you can see it. If you had observed me several Sundays before now, you see that I'm walking like I'm limping. That's to show you how much I love football. That even as a man of God, as a married man, I went and played football that was so hard enough to injure me. Instead of playing that light one with old people, you know that one is not sweet. They'll say we should go and play with married men. Men is the most boring football. I've tried it once. I almost slept in the field. So I went back to the tough boys to play. Because you imagine somebody that have 3 children is moving like this. Even if you took him OC, you cannot tell people, say, I took him OC. It's a shame. He deserves the OC. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So I had to go back to young people. You know? And I got an injury one time. I remember when the guy hit me on my leg, the back. I said, Bros, this goal, they don't used to pay for this goal. I would have just scored and you will not. Why did you do me like this? So I was going to my car. They didn't know that injury was serious. So as I entered my car, it was as if they hit stone on my head. That's how I went. I drove myself to somebody that pressed his leg. They said, Pastor, what happened? I said, Pastor, I have injury. The man started drawing my leg. I held my mouth like this. I think I shouted one. Oh, Shabu Shadaya. And he tried his best. That's why at some point, if you observe, I will be teaching you people. And I'll just be like this. Because I cannot move. If I move now, say, receive your healing, then you don't see me doing like this. So, Pastor, heal yourself first. Hallelujah to Jesus. That's how much I love football. I love football so much that at a point while I was playing, a team came to me that should come and play this Benue League, State League for them. And I started laughing. I was laughing because I told them, I'm a pastor. I can't play. They said, hey, Pastor, you can still play. I said, no, I can't. It was a serious case because they really wanted me to play for them. I played the midfield, particularly four. Hallelujah to Jesus. I don't look like it, right? My spiritual father asked me one day, he said, Simon, I said, yes, sir. He said, don't lie to me. If God opened a door for you to go to Europe now and play football, will you choose ministry over traveling to Europe? I said, sir, let's not talk about that. He said, we'll talk about that. I want you to think and give me an answer. Do you know I almost cried that day? Because the answer was hell yes. I said, sir, I think I will go. I'm not even seeing anything in my heart stopping me now. They say, yeah, you give a good answer and I like that. You have to stay with the Lord and learn to avoid this thing for a while. I remember when I stopped playing football, there's this boy they call Kingsley Michael. He's in Bologna FC. I don't know if he has left there. He had to message me on to go and say, you are a very stupid boy. You can ask him. He's popular. He said, why will you leave this thing? Because I was captain of the team. Why would you leave football? Because you are going to church. Are we not going to church too? But I knew my call. Are we together? I knew that this is what God wants for me. And I embrace it early. The problem is a lot of people don't know how to embrace that yoke of destiny very early. They want to do everything because they like it. Why do you want to do this thing? I like it. You must choose purpose over what you like. See, sometimes people say, what I like is what God has called me to do. It's not true. Some of us like wrong things. Some people even like going doing, what they call this thing? Hype men. God has not called anybody to be a hype man. Then bomb me with this thing. Ah, this guy, this gift is hyping. God has never called anybody to and gave him the gift of hyping. To hype people unto death. Till they give you all that they got. Then another person says, my gift is the gift of, what will I say now? There's one that will say that will be controversial and comedy. God called me to do comedy. And a lot of times you ask them, what does this comedy really entails? You know, sometimes when I talk about comedy, some people think I'm just trying to talk against people. But it's not true. Yeah, you can be so wonderful to make people laugh, but that doesn't mean it's a call. And sometimes we hear people say things like gospel comedians. I truly have not found one. I don't know if you found one. We have to be very sincere. A lot of times when they talk like that, before you know, they've tilted outside God. They've tilted outside God. And we are not bold enough to say, this person have. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? We really have to know what is really it and stay with it in God. Because you see, no matter how we pamper people in error, nothing can be done against but for the truth. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain? I was talking with a young generation like myself. And thank God that day nobody was even wearing earring and the rest. So I told them something about culture. I said, we are complaining because the younger pastors, some of them are not excited with the older pastors. They believe the older pastors look down on them, thinking there's nothing good that can come from them. But I asked a sincere question. I said, for a generation who thinks truth has given them liberty, and the proof of their liberty in Christ is to wear earrings. As a boy, you wear earrings. And we are trying to manage that one ear earring till we see another one on the other ear. And before you know, they are plaiting their hairs, going against the conscience of their culture of their conscience, I mean, conscience of their culture. I don't know how to put it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You grew with certain values that made up your conscience. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But you want to be like somebody who is in another culture and has certain values that made up his conscience, thinking the person is better than you because he's in America or Obodo Oyibo. And we think we are losers because we are in Vandikia. No. And you see our brethren here. Copycats. It's so dumb. It's so dumb. And if you watch these white guys, most of them, they don't even do these things like even us. Even this tattoo something. I'm not saying they don't do it. It's as if they started it and they left it and said, you people, it's like you people, we'll just open it for you people. We're saying something recently. People thought we're just trying to attack black people. But you know, currently in Europe, currently in the US, the crime rate is more with the black guys. When we talk about drugs, it's not insult. It's the truth. It's not racism. Hallelujah to Jesus. You see somebody singing gospel song. I know some people may say they want to attack. Just go and study. Don't be funny. Go and look at it. Statistics does not lie. You'll be looking at the gospel artist rising very well. He has released 2 songs. This thing has scattered. Everybody is singing it. The next show he's coming for now, he has split hair and put 2 earrings. And you say, our fathers of faith, you say, this generation, they are going somewhere. They are not going anywhere. They are not going anywhere. We talk about our fathers of faith, for instance. When we talk about Apostle Ayo Babalola, when we talk about great patrons of faith within Africa and in the Western world, all we think about is the fact that they led many to Jesus. Think about evangelist Reinhard Bonnke, who sacrificed his life for Africa. Many people are Christians. We have many bishops, Anglican church, who are bishops and Pentecostal bishops and pastors today, who are pastors because of that man of God came to Africa. But right now, what we are practicing is something shameful. Are we together? Say, this is a generation that will do greater things. And you look at the generation that will do greater things. Indeed, they are doing greater sins. Hey, they are flat. Even in Africa. One time I was watching a video and I saw a young man plaiting in the choir, leading song with two earrings and hair. I looked at this thing, I said, what is the meaning of this? Say, the pastor is condemning. You know, one time I finished teaching like this, somebody came to my office and said, sir, I enjoyed your preaching so well, but when you got to that point of lecturing and this thing, I just felt like you missed it there. I just opened my eye looking at him. I said, why do you think I missed it? He said, people should just be free to do what they want. Nobody should make... I said, it is true. And when I was done preaching, I did not say, don't be free to do what you want. I just showed you my perspective in God's word. And I said to him, I said, call anybody that wears leg chain and ask them why you wear leg chain. If they have one legitimate reason, I quit ministry. There is no reason. Call any young man wearing two earrings. Why do you wear it? The vibes, man. Just the vibes. It's not the vibes. It's stupidity. It's stupidity. Never grow to that realm. Are you listening to me? Never grow to that realm. Never grow there. Never grow there. You dress normal, do you die? At least when you dress abnormal. What happens? You are able to even successfully lure people away from God. Because as you are preaching now, they'll be judging you. They will not receive the gospel. Will they receive the gospel? Even the people looking like you, with earrings, the people wearing earrings will not even take you serious. I remember on campus, I was passing the medical section, one of those days, and I heard two people talking against somebody. Before I passed, with a loud voice, were just criticizing a so-called minister, according to them, that was doing dread. He did dread everywhere. So they were like, see, this is why they claim, say, look at this funny kind of, they were just trying, bashing him. And when I just passed, they said, hey, see this one, for this one now, look at the head. That's how we want somebody to be. Well, I just pretended I did not hear that. I kept on moving. I'm not trying to be, be pompous about that statement. But some sort of, when I looked at them, they almost looked at that like that guy with dread. Their head too was not looking okay. But they were insulting somebody's head that was not looking what? Okay. And saying they can't receive the gospel from him. You know, some people even claim that we dress like certain people to give them the gospel. Have you heard that kind of dumb statement? That we wear dirty jeans and scattered crazy jeans. One time I was preaching here, I didn't know somebody who I invited to church was wearing a crazy jean. So he said, when we went to the field to play football, he said, pastor, now me you talk about. I said, I promise, I did not even know you were crazy jean. This was the question I asked. I said, if they say the thing is crazy jean before you bought, are you not crazy? You know, you go to the market and say, please give me two crazy jeans. Then I give you two. Are you not crazy? You buy shirts. Who will believe that one time in our generation, somebody will go to the market and buy a shirt that the hand cut? The hand cut. It's here. Like it's here. And say, the thing not tear well. I don't like this kind of tear. Give me the other tear. Tear them again. How much? 7K? Okay. Then they wear a tear shirt and they wear a tear trouser and they are going. I'm young like you, so I'll tell you the truth. I was watching Facebook one time. I heard somebody speaking via a lying spirit. A lying spirit. Saying he's prophesying. How can you tell me? And let me bash that statement. Maybe some of you now are thinking that God will call you to go and preach in club one day. Listen to me carefully. Are you listening to me very carefully? Yes, sir. See, the Bible says, avoid all appearances of what? when they come out of club, preach to them. I've never even advised anybody to enter mosques and preach. You are being crazy. You enter mosques and you carry the microphone and say, revival must happen today. They will beat you. Except they invite you to the mosque, don't go. And even if they invite you, go with security. You don't do that. Say my call. God, one, I understand my call. That is why I accepted invitation to go and sing in a club. For somebody to look at you and say, come and sing in the club, you look like somebody that goes to club. Nobody has impetus to invite Dunsin to go and sing in the club. Who can tell Nathan Ebasi, come and lead song in club? Nathan Ebasi. When he blows that trumpet, demons will be coming out. DJ will be delivered. You hear DJ shouting, ah! Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Which kind of special call do you have that Nathan Ebasi doesn't have in singing ministry? But they look at everybody and they say they are not worthy for this call, for this assignment. And God picked you alone. And when he picked you, we can tell why he picked you. It's so funny. And people will be receiving all those things and it's not in their head. It's true. Listen, I'm not a coward. And you shouldn't be a coward. And don't be, is it gullible? Is that a word? Anything people say emotionally, you just believe. And that way we wipe out an entire generation by a lie. That's rubbish. We owe God as men of God and prophets to stand with the truth. That's a wrong thing to be said. I got really offended when I heard that. And at the end of everything, he said, the Lord spoke to me that the revival will start with a generation of people that wear ripped jeans and etc. There is no revival. It's a holy demon that spoke to you. There is no crazy revival that will ever come out like that. Except you have never read about revival. Have you really read about revival? The Western revival, can you remember the Western revival? The guy just sat one place praying in the spirit. Not even praying in the spirit yet. That time they've not started praying in the spirit. He just loved God passionately and was praying and started preaching. A whole different state will be gathering there. That's how the Pentecostal church started. The wave of that revival spread across different states and started spreading across Europe. Till it came to that point that the Azusa Street revival happened. And you are telling me that people who just are so conscious of the flesh and are doing all the arrangement in the flesh, everything flesh. How can you sit down and look at the mirror after you have prayed in the Holy Ghost? You sit down, pray in the Holy Ghost. When you are done praying, the Lord will now inspire you to go and bust your ear. So my son, bust thy ear. Son, buy Crazy Chin. I want to start a move with you. Crazy Chin. Yes, Lord. Finish praying in tongues, hot, fiery tongues. When you are done, the Lord will say, son, buy attachment and plait thy hair. God Almighty. I heard Pastor Paul Adefarasin saying very lately. Thank God he lended his voice to this thing. He said that the experience, anybody that wear your ring, they should not bring the person there again. Anybody that wear your ring, he said they should not bring. He said whether they are wearing in their country, he has passed the message. When they come, they should remove it first. If not, they will not minister. These are the things that must stand. They must be a stamp. Bishop Oyedepo said, even if an angel comes to me and tell me that this boy wearing earrings should lead worship in this church, I will tell that angel, get out from this place. It should not happen. Nobody will respect us as a generation that can do great things if these are the things that will carry on our head. When they talk about prayer, you see less attendance. Like Friday meeting now, some of you did not come. Lazy Christians. And you want to do great things in God. You are building an empire for yourself. You are trusting you will need the early money and suffer yourself for 1 hour, pressing that business to move forward. And you don't want your life to make progress. You think God give you things because you pray? He gives you things because you have grown. If you look at the beginning, God gave you dominion. Because he created you in his image and what? If you are not like God, he doesn't want you to have dominion. Apostle Selma always says this. He said, when you grow, you understand that the whole world is a magnetic field. He said things begin to come towards your direction. And it's the truth. It's the truth. I've seen it. I understand it by experience. I can tell you for free. Things, doors will just be opening. You'll be thinking the thing that is happening to you is happening to everybody. Till you ask a question. It is happening particularly to you. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. So grow. Tell somebody grow. Beyond church, you must have times you stay and pray in the spirit. Beyond Sunday morning. Trying to end now. This is the last phase. You must have times you sit and pray because you really want to grow. If you don't grow, you will not touch a lot of things in the spirit. You know the Bible says you've been blessed with all things in the realm of the spirit and on the earth. It says, but the position where you receive all of these things is in Christ Jesus. Meaning when you stay in Christ, when you are grown in Christ, you are positioned to receive all blessings. All blessings. Tell somebody grow. Desire to grow. Want to grow. Paul said, I commit you to God in the book of Acts and the word of his grace that is able to make you what? Build you up and give you, when you are built, what do you receive? You receive an inheritance amongst them that are what? Sanctified. You must want to pray. You must love to pray. I was speaking somewhere. I said, all my revelation has never brought me to the realm where I believe that prayer is an Old Testament practice. If you are there, see, listen to me. As long as you make up your mind to be born again and a Christian, you have been sentenced to a life of prayer. You must pray. The only thing I spoke against here was praying wrongly. If you don't love to pray, you will never grow. That money you are chasing, when you begin to stay with the word and praying effectively, it will begin to chase you. Else you will get that money at the altar of compromise. At compromise. You will get it when you steal. You will get it when you take bribe. You will get it wrong ways. When you do sugar boy or sugar girl, anyone. That's how you get it. But if you want to get it God's way, you must stay with the Holy Ghost and grow. You can't be telling God in the wilderness like the children of Israel. God cannot be carrying you through the wilderness and you are telling God, look at people in Egypt, they have money more than me. Look at my classmate God, they have money more than me. People in Egypt should not be the standard of people you compare your life with. You have a covenant with the Lord. You are in a covenant with the Lord. You are His choicest people. You are a child of God. He is the one carrying you by His hand and training you. He said, when one is a child, he does everything he wants to. But when he's grown up, he said, I take him by the hand and lead him to places he does not even want to go to sometimes. Meaning God is wanting to, he wants to groom you up. He wants to groom you up. He wants to groom you up. You may have seen the Red Sea parted. A strange dimension of God's power would have occurred through your life. And the next moment, you don't even have food to eat. That was their issue. The next moment, the children of Israel were looking for food to eat. A people that saw Red Sea parted. And that is how, you know, some Christians behave. They judge God unfaithful because, you know, now they cannot eat food. They allow their stomach control them. Their stomach determines their emotion. Their bank account determines how they feel and how they think. The God that has done great, in fact, some of them have laid hands on the sick and they recovered. Then after a while, they can't eat and they are saying, God, are you real? God is real, oh. You probably are in your wilderness. And listen to me carefully. If you are in your wilderness, there is nothing we can do about it, even if you are in GCMI. So you cannot judge the ministry by your personal work with God. You see, we may be you may see some people growing in church. And you may see yourself very static. And the devil, I know how he behaves. He'll start telling you, I don't think this covering is sufficient enough to... Look at the covering, I mean the cover. The cover is not suffering. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? And the cover is not. We everything is in place in this church. So you all know what you make and you know how you spend your money. So you know the cover is not touching your money. Hallelujah to Jesus. And you look at your fellow members in the church. God, what is happening to me? You have a walk with the Holy Ghost. You don't want to walk with the Holy Spirit. And sometimes some of us are deceived. When we come to church and pray corporately, we think that corporate anointing can replace our work with the Spirit, our personal work with the Spirit. You come to church and you pray together, and you go back home, you don't pray. You cannot hear God alone. You don't talk to God alone. You don't pray alone. You only pray in church. So you don't have a work with the Holy Spirit. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm trying to say. That's why sometimes you'll be feeling dry as a Christian. Have you been there before? Say, I feel dry. Because probably you, that's why some of them, when they just leave church environment and go to serve, you don't understand them again. They become another human being. Because what has been sustaining them is the power of that corporate anointing. They've been around people who are fiery. That's why they are thinking well. The slightest moment they go 3 weeks in camp, you will not know them. 3 weeks in camp, you will not understand them. They will go into an atmosphere that will swallow them up. The Bible said, like the king went into an atmosphere of prophet, he started prophesying. He started doing the right thing. That simply means you can be foolish and come amongst wise people and start behaving wise. And you can be, of course, I don't believe you have touched that equilibrium of wisdom. You can just be there and join foolish people and start behaving foolish. If what you have is not light enough, fire enough, fiery enough, if you go into people who are foolish, you start behaving like them. I heard a saying that says, if you're in a company of 5 people who are wise, if you join them, you are what? The 6th wise person. But if you're in a company of 5 foolish people, the man of God now says, you can guess the answer. And that's why the Bible says, if you must walk in the blessing in the book of Psalms 2, it says, you must not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Everybody have advice. That's why God warned you. He said, don't hear the advice of the people that don't know me. Anything they want to advise you about will not work. Anybody that does not know God does not truly understand finances. I know you don't get what I'm trying to explain. I understand the person may understand finances to an extent. But as long as he does not understand the God factor of that finances, he does not understand finances. And he truly does not have finances. Do you get what I'm trying to explain to you? That's why if you see people, when they were telling you about Elon Musk with the Christ Embassy, you know, some people could not believe it. They were saying Elon Musk partner with Christ Embassy for Rhapsody. Which Elon Musk? I haven't heard another man of God bashing Christ Embassy. Pastor Chris did not say one word. My loveliest man of God. One word did not come out from his mouth. He did not say, I heard people saying that Elon Musk gave, and he did not say one word. Elon Musk's man did not say one word. The thing was all over Twitter. He owns Twitter. He would have come and said, I heard something. He did not say one word. There's just a connection in between. If you are wise and have been following politics, you understand that that was not a lie. Pastor Chris is one person that is fighting that cause of LGBT. Elon Musk has vowed eternally to kill LGBT in Europe. Some of you don't know this thing. So the partnership should not be a surprise. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? A Tyrannia that believes that there is God. You that don't have money and are looking for money, you believe that there is no God. There's a problem. Where Elon Musk's money is, the thing is just there. Then when you come down, oh, other people now have money. Then there is you. That don't believe in God, don't believe in tithing, don't believe in giving, and you still don't have. You kept all the money, you did all the business, and look at you now. You still don't have the money. The wisdom of God seems like it's a joke. God will look at you and think you are a child and speak a word. That's why the Bible says, if you are not like these little ones, you cannot receive the word of God. How can God look at us with our brain? Look at how people are building us in this world. And say, it is givers that never lack. Meaning, you that they are building. God said it is you that will never lack. You that is building people and receiving. God says you that will lack. Even if you have collected, God says you still lack. That's why you observe people that always collect, they never stop collecting. Oh, this one touched you. People that always collect never stop. Come to that point that I told my pastors this years ago. I said, come to that point that you not call your father again for money. I said, but don't kill yourself. Oh, if he choke, still call. But trust God for that realm. I know what I'm telling you, people. Because some people have pride. It will choke them. They want to die. They will not say, no, God wants to even humble you. He wants you to call you. Some of you, God wants you to call back your father. Like one of my boys said, the father said, what do you need? He said, nothing. I said, see, your phone screen has broken. You are saying nothing. Where is phone? Do you have phone? You are pitying your father that born you. I'm not saying don't help your father, don't pity your father. But when your father asks you, what do you need? He born you. What do you say? Tell him what you need. At this point, you know, my father used to give me money sometimes. Even though I used to, there are days I go home and I bill him consciously. Say, Dad, I need 5K to do something. You just see him smile face. I say, it's very urgent. Then sometimes you just transfer. Sometimes, of course, you will not give. You think I'm joking. Sometimes you transfer. I say, I don't really have 5K, I have 4K. I say, I'll manage it. Let him know that he's supposed to give me money. Then I'll remind him, I say, you are my father. You born me and kept me into this world. Other times I joke with him, I tell him words like this. The Bible says, a good father leaves inheritance for a student. So give me my inheritance. Give me something. Some of you are too young to be carrying the burdens you are carrying on your head. You are just 21. You say, let me be firstborn. Let me go pay everybody's school fees. Let me go. Oh my God. See, the reason why there is there's leadership in family. And there's father, mother, and the children. Even in social studies, they say the family is made up of what? The father, the mother, and the children. They did not say the father, the firstborn, the mother, and the children. This is not me saying don't help at home. Just get the wisdom. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Get it. Don't carry responsibilities that are too big for you. You will end up in error. You now, just firstborn 21, this new job you get now, you are sending money to your mother's sister, your mother, brother, your mother. And some of them, they don't have shame. They want to collect too. In fact, your children too, they'll bill them. I was telling my father, I said, they bill you finish, they are billing me, they'll bill Shekinah. I said, but I'll make sure they don't disturb my children. The moment you just see call, you know money is leaving. Hello, account number, send the account number. See boldness, you have sent the account number. Hallelujah to Jesus. I remember I used to have these family members that when they mistakenly knew my house, my own finish. Early morning, gate is knocking. People always guess. One of my neighbors will say, Pastor, check if he be a family member. They will just knock. My neighbor will say, they did not call. If it's not your family member, they will check. It's not them. Sometimes it's them. And when they come, billing. Hallelujah to Jesus. Don't take some things too much. Some people don't have conscience. They don't have conscience. They have in their account, though, they want to collect and join. It's their business. They'll collect here, join. Remember my uncle? You know, I was talking to one boy. He told me the name of his uncle. The uncle called him, sorry. I saw Otto Presser. So I said, what's the meaning of auto? I was speaking to my uncle. I said, you wrote auto press sound. I saw auto press sound on the code. He said, Pastor, I'm on the, if I just talk to them, they press sharp. I said, auto presser, meaning talk and press. The uncle doesn't know that that's his name, auto presser. Excuse, no, they finish. Problems, no, they finish. You just call, talk one problem, talk another problem. Talk another problem. Give us, never lack. Receive us, never have. Come to that point. You know, I was advising some of you here as I close. Even your elder brothers and sisters, stop disturbing them too much. Some of you don't know that while you are disturbing your elder sisters, the last 5K they have is what they sent you. Other people, elder brother, if they call them, they're going to give them money. My own elder sister, if you call her, she go. If you flash her, she go flash you back. What kind of elder sister I get? If I ask my elder brother for money, he go just start laugh. What's it funny? I'm not saying some are not greedy, but some don't have. It is hardly for somebody who is blood to not give you when they have. It's very hard. Even Satan will give his children. It's very hard. Yes, now, will Satan not give his brother? Do you know there's partnership in the demonic world? Mummy Water Spirit used to partner with some spirits. Some men of God know how to explain those things. They used to partner for people's fall. I remember the only time this thing has ever made sense to me is once when somebody said, he said, if they want you to fall, most people that have this lineage problem, that think they have this lineage problem, that lineage problem always manifests through a serpentine spirit. So the man of God said, for any great man to fall, the demonic power in his village will always partner with mommy water spirit. It made logical sense, but I started laughing. You will see that the man will start wanting to womanize. Before he start, then the demon from the father side will now catch you and say, hey, it is, I'm not going to get you. I don't get you now. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. So that's how I want to end. Call your elder sisters and brothers and tell them thank you. Don't build them. Son. Just tell them thank you. You are doing well. Some of them are really trusting God to get something. And some of them are just collecting 300,000, 150, 200, and you are billing them. When will they grow in wealth to give you a lot of money? Because you will never stop begging. So when will they grow? When will they grow? Try for yourself. Tell somebody, try for yourself. I want people to know that let our elder brothers and sisters be watching us online. And when they observe that you are not begging them again, they'll be sending young people to the church. Go to that church. If your brother, they disturb you for money, send them, go glory, carry us. He goes, stop. That pastor, they teach them, they stop. Are we together? Start taking responsibility for yourself. Are we together? You know, sometimes when I see our brothers, our members here sometimes, I've seen one or two of them sometimes, they're sending money home. I think we've spoken several times. And I'm grateful to God and I'm excited. And I always tell myself, what if they never started years ago? What if they never learned that skill? What if they never started something years ago? This problem that's happening right now, how would they be able to what? Solve it? So tell somebody, learn something today. There is prayer. There is hard work. There's a place for prayer. Pray very well. We're writing one assessment. I don't know what was the situation. And I saw one of my boys, while the exam was loading to the next page, he was watching preaching. And I said, you think this preaching will make you pass? Now there is assessment. Watch the assessment, I understand. The word of God is already in you. Don't be distracted. This can be a distraction right now. Listen carefully. Apostle Kola told me years ago, he said, when it's time to pray, pray like there is no book. He said, when it's time to read, read like there is no God. It doesn't mean I should not think there's no God. I mean, I should not read religiously. You are reading and you stop somewhere and say, angels, come and show me. Mm-mm, read. When you were praying, your mind became sharpened. Now use that mind to understand. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Very important. Read very well. There is time for everything. Let me add this for the rising revivalists that probably wants to metamorphose in BSU. Listen carefully. If you go to BSU, it is because you pass JAMB. Huh? And you pass POSITM, isn't it? If you fail exams, what brought you to BSU is gone. BSU is your word right now, and God obviously wants to use you. But what qualified you to enter BSU for God to use is what? Book. You pass. There are many people that think God wants to use them in BSU, they are not reading. As long as they don't pass, if they enter BSU to preach, they will arrest them. Security will ask them, where is your ID card? They are gone. What am I trying to say? Read very well so that, you know, the result that makes sense to students very much is not that the dead came back to life. If you tell a student, they will thank God. But if you tell a student that in that church they are making first class, did they make first class? In fact, if you want to deceive them and start selling miracle pen because of first class, they will start coming. The testimony that settles down the most with students is the fact that people are passing. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So revivalists, one of your huge testimonies will be the fact that you did pass. Not that they pass you. You will not be able to preach well. As you stand before them and say, Thus says the Lord. Say, and that guy will get carried away. Maybe this guy, which level he did? He writes exam with us. Which level he did? More they show of the level. Okay, now carry over. He can't write. Now they preach. Are you understanding me tonight? Yes, so some of you who are students, there are a lot of you who are students, make sure you read. We have started another semester for BSU students. There's time for everything. You pray, and you what? You read. Are we together? If one suffers, there are always consequences. So if you read without praying, sometimes somebody will write exam, they will not see script. Have you heard things like that? I'm telling you what happens now. There's a man that died in BSU. When he died, they were cleaning his office. They now saw people's script under his rug. He died, a professor, years ago, during my remedials. The guy always was having spew. So the guy started praying. He got tired. You know, he came to that point where the Bible said, you don't know how to pray as you ought to. He just started crying and praying. Cried and prayed for 7 days fasting. When he was done, the man died. So they were now cleaning the office of the man. They now opened the guy's paper. Anytime he writes, the man will carry it and put under the rug. Anytime he writes, they were just seen under any course the man took him. Because I don't know what the man sensed about it. I don't even know whether they had a problem. That was it. That was the day the guy graduated. That was the same season. They had to apologize to him. And they cleansed everything. And he went. I know another testimony. This young man was my boy. Still my boy. Years ago in BSU, this supervisor will not allow him pass. He brings any topic, they scatter it. He brings any topic, they scatter it. He brings any topic, the man will say, will not accept. He says, sir, tell me the one you want me to choose. The man said, go and keep on searching. He got frustrated. People are in chapter 2. They've not given you topic. He went home one day, and I heard some kind of prayer that does not happen in my room. Die! Die! Anybody standing on my way? Die! Fire! Fire! He was crying and shouting fire. I opened the door. I said, hey! He stopped, cleaned his tears. I said, why did you start praying this kind of prayer here? He said, sir, I'm so sorry. What's up? Then he now told me the story. I said, well, go and meet the man. Don't talk like I will follow you. Don't talk like this. Don't be praying like this. So wait the next time before you go. If you go there and submit, he doesn't agree. I will follow you there. I will look for people we know to follow us there and talk to you. Don't be praying somebody to die. Meanwhile, words have been released. Do you know that short prayer? The man died. When the man died, I called him. I said, come to the house. He came. I said, it's just that there is no evidence. You killed this man. Guess what? That week, the person who they has reassigned to him accepted his thing. When he brought chapter 1, the man said, just write chapter 2. He finished before almost everybody that started. I was happy. It's not good, Sha. But that man, I don't know which scripture to put here. And I wanted to say they don't know their God, but I'm not even excited with the testimony. Yeah, we have seen things like that. In my finals, there was a man who wrote something on Facebook and I replied him. He said, men of God are just eating tight. Our lecturer. Emmanuel will know the man, but I will not mention. It's my classmate. So I just replied, I said, how do you know to say 100% of pastors? It means you are indisciplined to talk like that. And you don't have truth. Because I'm a pastor, the thing really hurts me. I know I'm suffering. You're telling me I'm eating people's tight. You know? He did not reply me. He replied me another way. After I understand this course, I taught people in fact, the presentation, I was the one that did what do they call that thing that we did? Grouping. Is it project they call it? It's not project. That one that they gathered us in group. Presentation. I wrote that, whatever. And it's just that, you know, as somebody that doesn't want to always be out there, I allowed somebody else to present. In fact, see the way it happened. They gave me A and gave all of us BB. He does not know how to do it. He does not know what answer. So he said he will just present because when they ask questions, he cannot answer. So he presented. Me now that answer all the because they asked him question in his own tone, the thing changed. Instead of to ask us question, they now ask him question. As he couldn't answer, so I just opened up to answer. The man now said, what? You that did this thing cannot answer? Well, you have A, all of you have B. I wanted to say, sir, it's me that did it, but it was too late. With all of those things, the man gave me carryover. course that I can close my eye and pass. He gave me carry over. So I was seated with the exam officer, and she looked at me and Pastor, I'm seeing carry over on your. I said, Madam, I don't know. I'm surprised. She said, what is wrong with these lecturers? She did not say what is wrong with me. She has told me about the prayer request, and I booked an appointment for the prayer already. So what is wrong with this? So I beg, forget about it. She just added some score. I said, don't worry, forget about the course. That was how that thing was solved. I did not go back to sit down or do anything. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I met a lecturer in that same department that said, if you have one single problem, one, just come and tell me, it will be solved. Now imagine you don't know God. As I'm standing here by God's grace, I can call in that my department and say, sir, please, there is this student. I've done it several times. Some of you here who had problems with certain people, you know. He says, man of God, send the person to come to my office. If you never had favor with God, you cannot have it with men. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You can't have it with men. So if you say you just want to read, you need favor that comes by the anointing. And when you finish BSU, there is life. Certificate does not cause you to win in life. Only certificate. You need the anointing also. That's why you must mix the two. There should be a balance. Are you listening to me? There must be a balance. Bow your heads and pray. Thank the Lord for His word. Thank Him for all you've heard this wonderful morning. Go ahead, I cannot hear you. Thank Him for everything you've heard this morning. Go ahead, I can't hear you. Thank Him. Lift up your voice and thank Him for every bit of the word you've heard this morning, especially as it relates to your life personally. Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. Oh, Rabahan de Blegadia Kafahai. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Go ahead. Shaba Kalabrahan de Bagadabaya Kabahaya. Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. Go ahead, go ahead. Labrahande Bashubragadia. Let your word transform me in every area of my life as I've heard this wonderful morning. Labakashubragadia Kabaya. Whoosh! Hey, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay. Shabakala da baya karada baya.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.